Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing this morning? Good. Well, my name is Mary Williams, and I'm pastor here, and I am so blessed and honored to be with you this morning. This is something that is going to challenge all of us. And to be really honest, I think it's a sin that a lot of us commit in our lives and we're even unaware of. I think it's something that some of us do on a daily basis, and we don't realize that it's actually getting in the way of our relationship with Jesus. And so today what I want to talk to you about is the fear of man. And more importantly, I want to ask you this question. And this is a question we're going to be phrasing today. And it's, in your life, will you choose to fear man or fear God? And this is a subtle yet revolutionary posture that can change the direction of our lives. It can change the impact you have on the kingdom of God. And I can tell you right now that a lot of us in this room, our lives are going the way they're going because we have either chosen to obey the voice of God or obey the voice of man. Right where you are, what you're doing, where you're spending your time, how you're living your life is based on that question. Are you choosing in your life to fear man or to truly give it all and say, God, I fear you most above all? And when we look at this topic of fear of man in scripture, this is not a both and topic. This is not something God says, yes, you can fear man and you can fear me. But it says in Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And as Christians, we are called to follow Christ. That's what being a Christian is. It's following Jesus, following after Christ. Yet so many of us as believers are not following Christ.
Come on, Mary.
We're following the opinions of others. We're following the approval we want to get from others. We're following the voices and the loud noise of our culture and our society and what it's telling us to do. And we're to be really honest, we're not following Jesus.
Come on.
His voice is not the loudest voice in our life. It's not the thing we're listening to first. And the sad thing is when we lay down God's purpose for our lives, God's dream for our lives, that's when we're fearing man. When we say, I would rather listen to what everyone else has to say than what you have to say, God. And that grieves God's heart. That grieves his heart. And this is an epidemic I've actually realized is happening in our culture today. I mean, look at social media. Our lives are based on what people think of us, on how many people are following us, on how many likes we get on the things that we're doing. We care greatly what people think.
Yeah.
Let's just sit with that for a minute. We really do care what people think. And that instead of our primary objective being to follow Jesus and to do all that he's asked of us, no matter what anyone says, we start laying that down because we care what people think. Because we care what they say. We care how they're going to react when we do something crazy for God, and we realize that we've stopped sacrificing our lives unto God, and we've started sacrificing our lives unto man. And there was an article written by a publication called The Guardian, and this nurse in Australia actually went to people in their last days and weeks of life, and she interviewed them on the biggest regrets they had looking back on their life. And so she got these five responses. They were the top five responses she heard from people looking back on their lives, the way they had wished they had lived their lives. And the number five thing she heard was, I wish I had let myself be happier. Maybe I wish I hadn't worried so much. I wish I just enjoyed the life I had. Number four was, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. That relational aspect of, I wish I had been a good friend. I wish I had been present with the people that were around me. Number three was, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. And I feel like that's a regret some of us have on a daily basis, right? I wish I had the courage to stand up and say that. I wish I had the courage to just let people know how I was feeling. Number two, this nurse said that she heard this from every man she interviewed. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. That at the end of their lives, they weren't saying, I wish I had worked harder. I wish I had made more money. I wish I had done more for my career. But they said, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. But the number one response, the most common response she heard from people at the end of their life, what do you regret looking back on your life, was this. This is the most common thing she heard from people. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Most of these people she interviewed, and maybe most of us in this room, considered their lives as something they had lived for other people. And you might hear that phrase that, oh, I wish I had the courage to live true to myself. And maybe to you, that sounds kind of new agey, kind of weird. But to me, living true to myself, living true to my identity and who I am, is living the dreams and the desires God has for me. And it's not living according to the opinions of others, and it's not living according to their expectations for me. It's saying, God, you have a dream for me. Yeah. You designed me with a plan, and I want to go after that with my full heart. Yeah. Even if people don't get it, even if it scares people and freaks them out, I'm not living based on their expectations. I'm not living for their approval. I'm living for you, God. And you created me with something special in mind. Each of us in this room, God has a crazy call for your life. God has a crazy call for your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. God has a crazy call for you, and he created you to do something that no one else can do. You bring something to the table that nobody else brings to the table. Our purpose in life is saying, God, what did you create me to do? And let me do that so well. Let me worship you with my life. Let me honor you with my life, God, by doing the thing you created me to do, Jesus. That's living true to yourself. That's having the courage to be true to yourself, no matter what anyone says. And so I don't know where you are in your story today. I don't know how far off the path you think you are. But I want to tell you, today's a good day to say, God, here I am. Send me. Use me, God. Use my life in the way you intended it to be used when you created me, not the way that's going to impress the most people. Use my life, God. Send me to the people you created for me to talk to, for me to be in relationship with. Send me to the places, God, that you know my heart aches for. Use me, God, in the way you intended me to be used, Jesus. And so I want to share with you today as we get started a little bit about my story, because as I told you, this is something I've really come up against and been facing in my own life. And that's really the reason I want to share with you today. But I want to share a little background on the last year of my life. So last January, I went on a missions trip to Belize, and it was while I was in Belize, the Lord started speaking to me about actually stepping down from my role here as a youth pastor. And I remember one of the hardest things about the Lord asking me to do that. It was hard because I loved it and I loved the kids. But even more than that, it was hard because I didn't know what was next. I didn't know what I was going to be stepping into. I didn't know what job I was going to do. I didn't have any other plans besides the one I was doing. And so it was scary and it was hard. But I said, okay, God, I feel you saying this. I hear you saying this. Like, I'm going to be obedient to that. And so, you know, I shared it with the staff and we felt peace on it. But then I started caring what other people thought. And I started hearing the other people's opinions. And I heard people say, you know, are you making a mistake by doing this? And why would you leave this? You know, this is your call. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And just a few comments like that totally derailed me from what God had spoken. And I started to question and I started to ask God, yeah, God, but they're kind of right. Like, I am good at this, and I could keep doing this my whole life. Like, why would I leave all of this right now? Like, I don't even have another plan. I don't even have another option. And I started to care what people thought. I started to think, well, if they think it's a mistake, it probably is a mistake, instead of trusting that God had told me he had a better plan for me. Yeah. Instead of trusting that God had a great adventure on the other side of this decision. And so I was really struggling with this whole idea of not knowing of what's next. And I went up to a conference and I just said, Lord, you got to tell me what I'm going to do. I'm here, I'm listening, but you got to tell me what to do. I'm sick of this waiting. I don't want to be in the lurch anymore. You got to tell me what to do. And I promise I'll do it, but you just tell me. And he's like, yeah, that's not how this works. No, I'm not going to tell you. Because the answer you're looking for is not an answer of what you're doing next. It's walking through the season and being present. And for me, it was coming up against that fear of man and saying, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you anyway. I know I heard what you said. I know I heard what you asked me to do. And even though I'm struggling with these voices, I'm struggling with these opinions, I'm going to obey you, Jesus. And so I was like, okay, fine, try it your way. I'll be present. And I ended up going to visit my brother right after the Lord said that. And it was just a sweet time we got to spend together. But don't you know sometimes when your guard's down, that's when the Lord loves to speak to you? When you're not like clenched up like this, like, give me an answer, God. But when you're just open to what he has to say. And so I'm there visiting my brother, and I went to bed one night and I woke up in the middle of the night in this dream. And in this dream, this woman had just given birth to a baby. And after she had given birth, I started speaking to her in her native tongue, and she started speaking back to me in that language. And I woke up from the dream, and right away I knew it was the Lord telling me, Mary, I want you to use your gift as a birth coach, as a doula, to serve women in other nations. And it was just like, boom, the Lord just unfolded it all. He gave me this vision. And I went home and I kind of started researching, and I kind of started like, how do I even do that? Where do you even start for a dream like that when God gives you something like that? And I ended up finding this program through an organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And they had a program that actually trained you as a missionary if you're interested in birth work, if you're interested in midwifery or being a doula, and they would send you out to other nations to serve women. And I just thought, this is perfect. This is like, God gave me the dream. It's actually a thing. This is so cool. Like, when does that actually ever happen? And so I was like giddy. I was so excited. So I apply to the program. I get into the program. I book my flight to Hawaii. It's in Hawaii. Like, what could be better? It was amazing. Well, about a week after I booked this flight, was so stoked. I get a call from the woman in charge, and she goes, Mary, I'm so sorry. I have some really bad news for you. And I was like, I want to hang up on you so bad right now. And she's like, yeah, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but we're actually canceling the program. And this was not a, we're canceling it, but you can come back next time. It was like, it's not happening. And I was just bummed. I was like, God, I thought that's what you wanted me to do. I thought that's what you told me to do, God. And I booked my flight and I changed my whole life and I did everything so I could do the thing I thought you asked me to do, and now it's not happening. And I just felt so frustrated and discouraged. You know, like, did I hear you right? Struggling with that voice again. Did I hear you right, God? And so in that, I started researching, and I realized there was other programs happening under YWAM, under Youth with a Mission, at the same time. And they were different and they were more generalized. They weren't as specific as what I wanted to do. But I started researching and looking into them. And while I was doing that, that pesky little fear of man came up again. And I started to think, but I already told people I was doing that thing. So if I change my mind, I go to this, like, what are people going to think? Like, what's my dad going to think? My dad's not a Christian. And for him, this school to go do birthing, he was like, that's great. It's going to help you in your career. You're making smart moves. This is awesome. But for me to go up to him and just say, yeah, I just want to go like travel and serve the Lord for 6 months, wasn't going to fly. And I was really, really struggling with this choice. And I just felt like I was in a tug of war between what I knew God had said and how much I cared what people thought. That, like, this doesn't look like a smart choice. This doesn't look like the choice that's gonna help me along and move me into a really great career path. This is kind of the crazy choice. This is kind of like the adventure of a lifetime choice, and it's different. And during that season, we were in our Detours series here at church, and as soon as all this started happening, I knew it was a detour. And I knew that the Lord was still in it, even though I was frustrated and even though I was so discouraged and upset, I knew that the Lord was in it. And the verse that kept coming to mind to me, Hebrews 11:6, and it says, you can never please God without faith, without depending on him. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely look for him.
That's
And I realized in that moment that pleasing God in this situation was so much more about trusting him and depending on him than it was about making the right choice, than it was about making the smart choice, than it was about making the choice that looked good to everybody else. Yeah. It was about leaning in and saying, God, I know what you said. I know what you said. I know what you asked me to do. I know what you asked me to lay down. And I'm going to put that first in my life. And we were on our She Leads retreat in Ojai, which was amazing. And I just had a huge breakthrough the morning Brenda Rabb was speaking. And she said this line I loved. She said, God can't bless who you are pretending to be. And she was talking about this whole idea of us wearing masks and pretending to be someone we're not and pretending to be what we are to other people and then having this different relationship with Jesus. And I just felt so much conviction in this moment of like, I'm trying to pretend to be someone else. Yeah. I care so much about what everyone else thinks that I'm losing sight of pleasing you, God, right, about seeking you, God. And I realized that when I'm trying to be someone else, I'm just giving into that thing that's fear of man. I'm just giving right into it. And so in that moment, I thought, what would it look like to block out all the noise and to just say, God, I'm going to do what you said. Yeah. I'm going to do what you said, God. I'm not going to even think about the reactions I'm going to get. I'm just going to think about what would it look like to do what you said. And in that moment, I just felt complete peace, complete peace. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I signed up for this other program. I signed up for this kind of general missions, caring for the marginalized, caring for the poor, still amazing, but it wasn't my plan A. It wasn't the thing I thought I was going to do. It was different than what I thought I was going to do. Yeah. But I will tell you, when you let the fear of man seep into your life, it will hold you back from what God has planned for you. It will hold you back. It will lie to you. It will grip you. And some of us, it's been gripping us for years. It's been gripping us for decades. And we need to step out and say, you know what? I'm blocking out all the noise. I'm going to do what you said, God. Yes. I'm going to do what you said. And that's when the peace comes. That's when the clarity comes. And today we're going to look at a story about Saul and Samuel. If you want to open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15. And this is a story all about the fear of man. We're going to start in 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. And Samuel was a prophet. Samuel was a prophet who was given instructions from God to share with Saul. And Saul was actually in line to become the king of Israel. And this was a really big deal because at this time they didn't have kings in Israel. So Saul was in line to become the very first king of Israel. And Samuel, the prophet who was given instructions from God to share with Saul, he was a little wary about this. He was a little concerned about the idea of putting a man in charge of a kingdom to rule. And he struggled with this idea because he felt like it was questioning God's kingship. And so we're going to go into the story and we're going to read when Samuel comes to Saul and shares what he needs to do from God. It says in verse 1, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over the people of Israel. Now therefore, listen. To the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" So this is the Lord's first instruction, and he's very clear. He says, we're seeking destruction. I'm very clear when I'm telling you this, Saul. "But Saul and the people spared Agag," we're in verse 9 now, "and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them." So here's a moment where Saul goes, you know what? I'm going to go a little rogue. I know you told me to destroy everything, God. I know what you said, but I feel like it's a good idea to like save some stuff, to save some of these oxen, save some of these sheep. I'm going to save the leader. So I'm going to kind of do my own thing right now. In verse 10, "The word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And so it's really simple to God. He's going, you didn't listen, Saul. You didn't listen. And it grieves God's heart that he didn't listen. And it begins to grieve Samuel's heart as well.
says, "And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal." So not only did Saul turn away from God and start doing what he wanted to do and what he thought was best, but now he's actually enjoying the praise. Now he's saying, "I'm going to go build a monument for myself because I kind of like this. I kind of like being a king and I can do whatever I want and people give me the praise." He starts to like this. But his life is no longer honoring God. He's starting to bring honor to himself. It says in verse 13, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be to you the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" So he's like totally unaware at this point. He's like, "Yeah, I did it. I performed the command of the Lord. I'm so obedient." Samuel's not having this. Samuel says, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen I hear?" He's like, "Dude, I can totally hear that you didn't obey the commandment of the Lord." Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people," he starts to blame the other people, "the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night." And he said, "Speak." And Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, devote destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best things, and devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." And what Samuel's saying to Saul in this moment is he's going, "You missed the point. You missed the point, dude. Real sacrifice is laying down what God asked you to lay down. Not what you thought was a good idea to lay down. Not what you think would bring you the highest praise and was a great idea. Do what God asked you to do." And this is like me saying, "You know what? I'm going to go on a fast this week. I just feel really like I want to sacrifice to God. I want to give up something. So I'm going to give up brushing my teeth." That's not a sacrifice. Nobody likes brushing their teeth. A sacrifice is laying down what God has asked you to lay down.
Yeah.
A sacrifice is being obedient to the voice of God and what he said, not what you think is a good idea.
Right.
Not what you think is going to be fun and enjoyable. And guess what? God's going to ask you to give up things that are really hard for you.
Yeah.
That's real sacrifice. And so in verse 23, he says, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." And there it is. That is the fear of man. That the fear of man would be so strong in Saul's life that he would lay down the destiny that God had for him.
Wow.
He would lay down the call that God has for his life. He was going to be the first king of Israel. He was going to do great things for a nation, and he laid it all down because he cared what people thought, because he got afraid, and he listened to their voice instead of listening to what God had asked him to do. And God's saying, "Saul, I had plans for you, man. I was rooting for you. I was in your corner. But you laid it all down. Why? Because you cared what people thought?" And I know that sounds ridiculous, like hearing it from the perspective of somebody in scripture, but how many of us do that in our lives? How many of us lay down the call, the dream, the desires that God has placed on our heart because we just really care what everyone else thinks? and we start to listen to their voice, and their voice gets stronger, and the opinions get stronger, and the need for their approval gets stronger, and we just lay it all down because we care what they think. Well, the whole reason that we call it the fear of man and the fear of God is because you obey the one you fear. In this moment, he says it clearly, I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. And if you want to figure out who you're really fearing in your life, if you want to be really transparent, if you want to be really honest with yourself, I want you to take a look at your decisions. And when you're about to make a hard decision, what is the question that goes through your mind? God, is this pleasing to you? Or what's my best friend going to think? Or what's my boss going to say? Or how are they going to react if I tell them I'm going to do that? What comes to mind when you're making decisions? Because that person you fear, that person you're attempting to get approval from, that's who you're obeying, sadly. And this kind of fear is addictive. And what I mean by addictive is it is a craving that cannot be satisfied. If you are seeking to get approval from man, if you are looking for everyone to tell you, great job, love you, you're amazing, I'm so sorry to tell you, that will never be satisfied.
Yes. Come on.
That desire we have in us to be fully known, fully seen, fully loved is only in relationship with Jesus. And if you are trying to get that anywhere else, I am sorry to tell you, you will never be satisfied.
That's right.
You're never, ever going to get what you need. And don't get me wrong here, I know affirmation feels good. I'm a words of affirmation girl. I love it when people tell me, like, good job. I love it. Honor, that's an important part of community. That's an important part of our walk with Jesus. But is your whole life wrapped up in that affirmation? Is what you do and your ability to walk out God's dream for you based on what other people say? And that's the hard question. That's the hard question. And that even if we get affirmation, even if we get honor, are we still able to turn it back to Jesus and say, God, thank you for giving me that gift. Would it glorify you, Jesus? That we appreciate each other, we love each other. It's important to share that with each other, but that it's not boosting my ego and it's not giving me more of a right to do what God's asked me to do, but it's that I know what God has asked me to do. And that when somebody sees it and they cheer me on, I go, thank you, God gave me that gift. God is good. God is good, and I want to use it for his glory. So we are not called to fear man, but instead we are called to fear God. And I think this whole idea of fearing God is a really complicated and confusing phrase we use in the church and we use in Christianity. And I by no means am going to be able to unpack the entire phrase today, but I do want to share a little bit on what it means. So let's look at Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. It says, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That he's consuming, that God has the ability to fill all of our mind, all of our life, but that he's also fire. And fire really has two different sides to it, doesn't it? That fire can be fun. Fire can be roasting marshmallows. Fire can be sitting around the fireplace at Christmas time. Fire can mean cooking a really wonderful meal on the stove with your family. It can be this really beautiful thing. And so when our kids are little, we don't just fill them with the idea that fire is bad and that fire is fearful. There's some really great things we like to enjoy surrounding fire. But as we can see by the awful outbreak of the fires happening in our area recently, we too have to understand that fire is powerful.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand what fire is and we don't respect the force of nature it is, we aren't getting a full representation. We aren't getting the full impact of what fire is. And a child needs to understand that fire is not just for candles on a birthday cake. But fire is a serious force of nature. Fire is something we have to be careful with. We have to understand. And similarly, we need to have a full understanding of who God is. We need to have the full picture of who God is. We need to understand that God is love, that he is wonder, that he is amazing, that he's a miracle-working God. But we also need to understand that he is all-powerful, that he has all authority, and that he is the ultimate judge of all. We have to get the full picture, the full grasp of who God is. And so fearing God isn't just sitting around scared that God is going to smite us at any minute. The fear of God is understanding his full nature in totality and saying, you know what? In my life, God, I want to make decisions that honor you, that honor you because I know that you are the authority. You are the full judge. You are the power in my life, God. And so my decisions matter. But guess what? I know that your love and I know that your wisdom and I know that you're going to help me get there.
Yeah.
That I understand the full picture of who God is and I can engage with him in that same way. And so I have to have a full understanding, a healthy understanding of who God is and the power that he has in my life. And then it's going to start showing up in the choices I make. It's going to start showing up in the lifestyle that I have. And so let's just talk practically about what it looks like to fear God in our lives. The first thing I want to tell you today, and this is point number one, is listen to God's call for your life. Listen. When I was in college, I used to help out with a ministry called Young Life. Some of you may have heard of it. It's working with junior high and high school students. And I remember one day I was at a leader's lunch, and this girl was saying, you know, I'm just having a really hard time engaging with these teenagers. I'm having a really hard time telling them why they should give their lives to Jesus. Because I feel like to them, it's just boring. It's just rule following. Like, it just seems lame. And I look at this girl and I'm like, I think you're having a hard time with this whole concept. And therefore, it is hard for you to share with other people. But I looked at her and I was like, I was just kind of dumbfounded. And I was like, life with Jesus is the biggest adventure of all. It's not boring. Like, if that's what you're afraid to tell these teenagers, I don't think you have a life with Jesus, because life with Jesus is the biggest roller coaster ride you'll ever go on. When you fully surrender to him, it's the craziest thing. And so are you listening to what God has for you? We saw this with Saul, that God spoke very clearly to him. God told him exactly the dream he had placed on his life. I want you to be King Saul. That's amazing. And here's what you need to do to get there. Well, let's think about other people in the Bible and maybe the fear that comes up when they knew what God had told them to do, but it's still scary. I thought about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She knew what she was supposed to do. She knew she was a virgin and she was going to be pregnant and she would carry the Son of God. But can you imagine going up to your parents and telling them that? That was the call that God had on your life? Talk about fear of man. Talk about caring what people think, that you're walking around unmarried, pregnant at a time where that's not very common. Right. And you're pregnant with Jesus. Yeah. There's some fear of man in that. And sometimes God calls you to do crazy things. And he calls you to do crazy things that he's not going to share with other people. I don't think he told Mary's parents. And it was probably insane to them. But Mary had to go, God, I know what you said. And the thing we have to understand about this, Anna talked so beautifully last week about community. And the thing we have to understand is that, yes, God might share something with you that he doesn't share with other people, but your choices do affect other people. Your choices, the decisions you make, the way you put your life, it affects other people. And when you're in community, when you're in family, when you're in a church body together, you have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And so part of that is seeking wise counsel. It says in Proverbs 19, 20 through 21, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
Yeah.
The purpose of the Lord will stand no matter what in your life. It'll stand no matter what in your life. Some people are so afraid to seek counsel because they're like, well, what if they tell me to do something different I want to do? The purpose of the Lord is going to stand in your life if that's what God asked you to do. And honestly, this is where self-awareness comes in and where you have to be really honest with yourself and say, did God really ask me to do that?
Come on, Mary.
Did God really ask me to make those choices and those decisions? You know, some of us, we have a really hard time with our family and we come and we seek counsel and it's like, yeah, God just told me to cut off my whole family. Really? He did? No reconciliation? Forgiveness? No? Okay. Okay. That's where we have to say, God, is that really what you said?
Yeah.
And you have to be honest with yourself. But seeking wise counsel, they are going to help you call out those lies. They are going to help you call out those things and say, that's not true, Mary, that's not true. And the fears you're having and the things you believe people are saying, it's just not true. And you're missing out on what God has called you to do because you're leaning into these lies. You're leaning into this approval that you want to get from other people. So I encourage you to listen to what God has asked you to do and to stay true to that. Number two is obedience is surrendering what God has called you to lay down. I talked about this earlier. It's what God has called you to lay down. In 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 23, it says, "Do you think all God wants are sacrifices, empty rituals just for show? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing. Not staging a lavish religious production, not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the cult. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. It is simple. Listen to what God has asked of you and be obedient to that. Things start getting real, real complicated when we start to feel the pressure from other people, when we start to seek the approval of other people, when we make other people's voice more important than the voice of God. We make that complicated. Yeah. And to be honest, I feel like pastors are some of the best people pleasers around. We love pleasing people. And when it comes to doing things for God, and when it comes to doing what we need to do for God, sometimes we lose the whole point of what our ministry is for because we care what people think.
Right.
That sometimes God's going to ask you to do crazy things, but these questions come up of, well, what are people going to say if I preach on that? Or what are people going to do if worship gets all weird? Like, how are they going to engage in that? Are people going to leave the church if I talk about this issue of injustice? These are the questions that come up in a pastor's mind, and sometimes they hold us back from doing the thing that God has asked us to do. And pastors are shepherds, and we care for people, and that's a very important part of the mission of being a pastor. But at the end of my life, it's God I'm gonna stand before and give an account of my life to. And he's the one that I'm gonna explain. That's why I wrote that sermon, and that's why I said it. And that's why I stood up for that issue of injustice. And that's why I worshiped in that way, God. Because you were the one I was seeking to please all along, Jesus. I didn't do it for the numbers. I didn't do it because I cared what people thought and I needed their approval, God. But I did it because you asked me to do it. And God is gonna use your life in such a more radical way when you shift to that thinking. Of Jesus, at the end of my life, I'm standing before you.
That's right.
I'm standing before you, and I have to give an account to you for the things that I'm doing. The last thing we're going to talk about today, and the worship team can come up now, is repent when you've walked away from the voice of God. Now, we saw this in Saul's life, that he had to be honest before God. He had to repent and say, Lord, I transgressed you. I transgressed your command. I didn't listen. I feared what the people thought, and I obeyed their voice. And there's going to be a desire, there's going to be a temptation in all of our lives to listen to what people say. But what are you going to do when that happens? And I was thinking about this earlier this week as I was driving in my car, and you know when you have your GPS and you kind of get off the map and you're like using your finger and getting away from the route you're supposed to be on, and all you have to do is you press that recenter button and it's like, whoop, and you just get right back on your path. And I was in my car and I was like, I wish it was that easy with God. I wish there was just like a button and it's just, I'm back on track with you, Jesus. I wish it was that easy. But how many of us are aware that we're off track? We're aware that we've been living for someone else. We've been living for someone else's approval, but we don't know how to get back on track. And so maybe we never do. And I want to tell you today, there isn't a recenter button, there isn't an easy button or an app for this, but it is possible today for you to stand before God and say, and just be honest and repent and say, God, I cared what people thought. God, I've been living for the approval of man, I've been living for the praise of man, and I'm sorry, God. And I know that it grieves your heart, and I want to get back on track with you. And I think for a lot of us, this is a deep-seated heart issue that some of us, we've been living this way our whole lives. It goes back to our childhood. Maybe you grew up in a household where you were trying to get the approval or be perfect. Maybe you had an abusive parent and you had to do everything right. Maybe you lived in a really chaotic environment, so you were just trying so hard to be perfect and to keep it all together. That we think that if everyone else is happy, if everyone else is good, then I'm good. But you know what the truth is? When you live your life trying to gain the approval of other people, you really aren't making anyone happy. Because you're not obeying God. You're trying tirelessly to get the approval of others, which I'm sorry, no matter how hard you try, you never will. And you're not happy and you're not fulfilled because you're not doing what God's asked you to do. And you've laid down your life for other people, and not in a good way. And so some of us are looking back on our lives today and we're saying, man, I've been doing it wrong. I've been seeking out the wrong approval, and what was it all for? What did it all mean? And I want to tell you, I think some of us, the first step today is just being honest with God and saying, God, I want to come back to you. I want it to be you that I'm seeking to honor with my life, Jesus. And in that moment where Saul said that with God, it wasn't that everything changed in that moment. There were still serious things Saul needed to change. There were behaviors that needed to change. But in that moment, his heart changed. The posture of his heart, the posture of his life, and who he was living for changed in that moment. And can I tell you, if you walk out of the store today and you say, you know what, I'm done with that fear of man stuff. I'm done living that way. Can I tell you, you are about to go on the greatest adventure with Jesus. He is going to take you to places you never thought you would go. He's going to ask you to do things you never thought you would do. He's going to give you boldness. He is going to give you courage. He is going to bless your life in miraculous ways when you say, God, it's for you. And I've been a Christian my whole life since I was a little girl, but this past year has almost felt like I recommitted my life to Jesus because it was where I really said, God, you can actually have it all. You can have my job. You can have my paycheck. You can change where I live. You can have my whole life, God, and do whatever you want to do with it. And so can we stand today? And I want to pray for you. And as we pray, I want you to place your hands on your heart because I feel like more than anything, this is just a heart change that God wants to do in a lot of us. And so Jesus, we just lift up each and every life in this room, God. And I pray in this moment, Jesus, that they would just receive your approval. That right where they are in this very moment, you approve of them. You love them. You are satisfied by them right where they are. And that, God, we would reject the fear of man right now in Jesus' name. That those of us that have been living, that have been caring, that have been pursuing the approval of man right now, I pray that we would surrender that to you, Jesus, and we would say no more in Jesus' name. That this thing that's become a lifestyle in our life, that maybe even some of us thought it was ministry, and it's not ministry, it's become an idol in our life, I pray that we would give it to you today, Jesus. And I pray the fear of God over each and every person in this room. That those of us that haven't been living for you, Jesus, that don't even know what it looks like to live for you, God, and to honor you with our life and our choices and our decisions, God, I just pray you would bring us into a reality of what that looks like right now today. I pray you would give us courage today, God. I pray those of us that you are speaking to us right now and you are telling us the hard things that we need to do, the hard choices that we need to make, God, I pray right now you would give us courage and boldness to go after it, God. You would give us courage and boldness to go after the thing, the destiny that you have for us, that you place on our heart. Even if we're older, we're further in our life and we thought, oh, I already missed it. You didn't miss it. He's saying right now, right here, give it all to me and I will change your life. I will transform everything in your life. God, I pray for discernment, that we would hear your voice, God. We would hear what you are saying, God. And it wouldn't be about the noise. It wouldn't be about the response we're going to get from other people, but that we would hear your voice, God, and that we would be obedient. We would be steadfast to what you say, God. I pray, God, that we would be such an encouragement to one another as a church, God, that we would spur one another on, God, towards love and towards good deeds, Jesus. Yes, Lord. And lastly, God, I just pray that our lives would be so rooted in our identity with you, that we wouldn't get lost in our culture, in this idea of what other people think or say, God, but that our lives would be all about you, Jesus.
That's right.
We love you, God. Amen.